Welcome to the Creative Entrepreneur Show. What do we have this week, Brian?
Hey, Rosh, happy to be here. Have you seen a decline in your results this week? There's a potential reason why. And also, I want to talk about what the heck is going on at OpenAI. A bunch of stuff happened in the past few weeks. What do you have going on?
A couple things. I want to talk about setting up yourself for success, something I've been thinking a lot about, because as you probably noticed, Brian, when we started talking today, my hair was just on fire and all over the place, like yours. And it just made me think back about what I've had to do in the past to set myself up for success, especially when it comes to meeting and working with other clients. And then I want to talk about Grok.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a fun word.
Yeah. G-R-O-K.
Okay. So not Gronk, the guy from the Gronk. Tight end from the Patriots. Okay. All right. Well, a good springboard then. You know, you're talking about setting yourself up for success. Well, something that we do for our clients is we anticipate a big decline in results right now.
Really?
So we're not living in a bubble. Obviously, if you look outside, we're headed towards the holiday season right now. And we see a huge influx in competition for our clients' efforts on social media from, say, mid-November on through, you know, about now. And then we see a little lull in that competition. And then by December 15th or even December 10th, December 15th, it's fully regained its steam again. So, you know, we've got to remember as marketers, you know, if we're, you know, pushing our businesses, that we're not living in a bubble here. You know, our efforts are not exclusive of what's going on with everybody else. So this is the time where the big companies come out and spend the big dollars. They, you know, your Walmarts, your Target, your big companies of the world, your Coca-Cola, they come and just flood the social media world with their big spending dollars. And it pushes the little people out. And we consistently every year see a huge decline the second half of November with all of our results across the board. Why? Because there's only so many eyes out there in social media that can view your efforts and what you're putting up there. And when these other companies are coming in and spending a lot more money, then your efforts that traditionally would work great are now getting squashed out. You know, when we're leading into November with all of our clients, we say, hey, we're going to run your ads this month really heavy up until about November 15th, and then we're going to cut them off. And I'd rather spend your money more efficiently the first half of the month. And then let's let the, you know, the big spenders kind of duke it out the second half of November. And then, you know, we ease it back in and really follow the same methodology in December. So, you know, don't be discouraged if you saw your results really decline a lot in the last week or so. This is very, very normal. And, you know, just set yourself up for success and plan on this happening year over year. Remember what happened, you know, last year. And that's why also it's very important when you're making your measurements of success that we're not looking month over month, we're looking year over year.
Right.
You know, product cycles, sales cycles, everything, you're going to get a lot more fair comparison year over year. So, you know, just kind of our 2 cents this time of year from a marketing company perspective, when you're putting your efforts towards social, that don't get beat up. Don't beat yourself up is what I mean to say. You know, if you're not doing too well right now, do you find yourself up with any of your clients that way?
There's a little bit of that, when it comes to pay-per-click on Google, but that, it really just depends on the industry you're in, because that's not the waterproofer isn't feeling that pinch, you know, compared to somebody who's selling, you know, people in the trades versus somebody who has a, say, a brick and mortar store that's, this is the big time of year and they're selling certain items. So we do see some of that. What we do see, though, is search engine optimization in general is that Google really makes it hard to index stuff. They make it hard. They knock a lot of people who are traditionally in top spots back because they want you to buy ads. And it happens every year. If you ask them if they do this, oh, of course not. But it happened last year, to your point. So it's going to happen this year, which it has. And so, you know, it'll be back to normal a little bit after January.
Right. Back to our regularly scheduled programming. All right. So back to you. I'm setting up for success.
Yeah. So success, I mean, I have had a lot of end of the year stuff, and I have meetings and I have new clients coming on board or interested. And I found that I really need to take the time and take a step back, because sometimes you really do feel like your hair's on fire. You're being pulled in so many directions. And you feel like, oh, I don't have 10 minutes. I don't have 15 minutes. But that extra 10, 15 minutes to take the time and read through what is the expectation of that meeting, or think about what that expectation should be, or maybe reviewing the prospect's website, or maybe just do a little social media search to see what's going on with that person or company to help you have a better idea of how to approach that situation. And so you don't look like your hair's on fire. So you don't look like you're flustered or unprepared. And it really does not take much. And believe me, I find myself running to the next thing, but I will make that pause and say, give myself just that, even when I feel like I don't have any time at all, to give myself those 5 minutes to do what I need to do. So it, again, doesn't look like I'm not prepared. Don't, because when you do prepare ahead of time, you're expecting certain kinds of questions. You bring something to the table that the person you're going to talk with may find beneficial. And in other words, you don't come in feeling like, okay, what do you got for me? Or, you know, again, totally unprepared for that opportunity. So with that, that's really where I'm going. It's just taking those times, setting yourself up. Sometimes I will just do little things. Sometimes there's a whole big process that I want to deal with or need to do before a meeting or to take on a project. And I will just do little things along the way. Maybe I have a big photo assignment coming up for the weekend. I will do little things along the way. So by the time that weekend comes or that day comes, I have everything laid out. I've set a few things up. Sometimes as simple as putting some lights out where I need them. Sometimes it's as simply as setting up I use photo shelter to put the photographs in for the client. And I'll set up that account for them and make sure it's all set up. So I could even send that ahead of time so they know that I'm on top of it. So things like that. There are many, many ways to go about that. How do you go about it? Is there anything that you like to focus on before meeting?
Love that. Yeah. So this is all part about respecting people's time.
That's a good point.
And I think ultimately when you've taken the time ahead of time of meeting with someone to do that little bit of research, what you're telling that person is that you respect their time and that, you know, you're not expecting them to have brought everything to the table for this meeting. You're coming prepared. And, you know, actually, I had a conversation with my nephew about this weekend, just, you know, and he is, you know, younger, at the 8-9 years old now, but just talking about basic tactics of sales. Mm-hmm. And really, I don't really like the term sales tactics because that feels a little dirty, like you're trying to, you know, sneak, but really forging relationships is a sales tactic. And even to take this a few steps back, before I was doing this, I ran a quick lane at a very busy Ford dealership. Mm-hmm. And when I would go out and get information from a customer's car, I took a couple extra seconds to observe their vehicle. Maybe they had a Michigan State sticker on the back. Maybe they've got something about their kids in a window sticker or something. And I can take that extra little bit of time to go out there and learn something about that client. So when I come back in, I've got a little something else to forge a conversation over and forge that connection with them. And then, you know, when I've got to call them 4 hours later, maybe they need a transmission flush or something like that, they're going to be a little more apt to listen to me because I've forged that connection. Right. And yeah, that's really setting yourself up for success by taking that time to really care. And it really, it separates yourself, especially the other people who, you know, if they come across as just, you know, a skeezy kind of salesman, it's because they haven't taken the time to forge those connections.
Right. Very good. Yeah. All right. What do you have next?
All right, OpenAI. Speaking of our hair on fire, what the heck is going on here?
It's been a week.
Yeah, we do have a theme, which is ironic because I'm sitting here now with your haircut. We're both as follically blessed as each other these days. So we're looking like the top of our heads right now are looking like what's going on at OpenAI here. But all right, yeah. So in a nutshell, to those who don't know. Sam Altman, the CEO, owner, leader of OpenAI, was ousted by the board for supposedly not being forthcoming with his communications.
Mm.
What that means, the board hasn't necessarily told us yet.
Right.
And what Sam did was, the second he got ousted, he went straight to Google and got hired.
Microsoft.
My apologies. I feel like they're one and the same. Yeah, he went straight to Microsoft and got hired right away. And pretty much Microsoft told him, we'll hire your whole team. We'll hire everybody. And then, a day or two later, 500 employees had signed, something saying, hey, to the board, if this guy, if he's not back, we're gone. And, it was that mutiny. And then all of a sudden, the board started wavering. And a few days later, boom, he's back. It was a whirlwind of, what happened, and we're all still trying to catch up with it. And I guess this might be kind of the new normal in the world of, AI and the world of, just things moving so fast. What's your take on this, Raj? What have you seen?
Well, I don't know if it's a surprise or not. I mean, the OpenAI would be a totally different company without him. And I think that it was, maybe a board was frustrated with him in the direction he's going, maybe. And so saying, hey, you're not being forthright with your communications is an easy way to say, hey, you're keeping some stuff from us that we think we should know, that in a more formal way. Honestly, again, I think OpenAI would have been in big trouble without him. And it would have all just, quite honestly, I think maybe Microsoft would have just, in the end, may have just completely bought out OpenAI. And so it all would have been the same in the end. Instead of partial ownership by Microsoft, it would be full ownership by Microsoft and underway. Again, what do I know? They didn't call me. So
I'm still waiting on that.
Here I am with my two cents.
Oh. We're speculating, but it was just it's been kind of, I wouldn't say fun to see, but interesting for sure to watch from far away with what's happening with it. But they're one of those rare companies that's having to blend their philanthropic efforts along with, being a company that's making money. And there's some gray area there because, hey, do they want their technology to benefit humanity or do they want their technology to make a buck? And how can we potentially do both? And that's what we're kind of seeing, play out.
Back to continue on with AI, Grok. You didn't know that's where that was going, did you? And that is Elon Musk. That's his ChatGPT competitor, but it will be connected to X. So it'll allow. Now, I see a lot of biased issues within because the AIs are in this AI will be trained on that. What's going on in Twitter? Speaking of hair on fire, I mean, what a madhouse that place is. And if this AI is learning off of that, now it's supposed to be launched this week. That's my understanding. But the neat thing I think is important and helpful in this situation is that, the thing that made Twitter, Twitter is the ability to share, I would call it the people's AP wire, was the ability to share news instantly around the world, within seconds, new information. Well, that means the same thing for that AI. That AI has the latest up-to-date information. Hey, how were Google's earnings? Well, here you go. Released 5 minutes ago. And so you have a very well informed AI that could be highly beneficial to what you're doing. For example, if you are a creative and want to know the latest about maybe a company or the latest information about a technique, or maybe there's software that you use for your creations. You know, what is the latest update? Why is it important? I mean, this kind of information allows you to dig in deep to support what you're doing as a creative entrepreneur with instant updates. Because again, people use Twitter X as, you know, really a public relations forum and news forum. And then, you know, the rest of them just go crazy, hair on fire with the conspiracies. But a lot of times that's where you place that information to this day. And we just hope it'll all get under control. But this, I think, could be a good thing, and it could be a horrible thing.
Right. I mean, the age of information is certainly, in my opinion, the biggest drawback of ChatGPT at this time. Mm-hmm. So to potentially have it plugged into live information, you know, I could even see, you know, being somebody who does fantasy sports, being able to have current sports information thrown into an AI tool and stuff like that, you know, can be very beneficial. So it's certainly going to have its own benefit. I worry about the bias of it. I mean, certainly, you know, X has gone in a direction, we'll say politically and in terms of everything. And if it's just pulling its information from X, then there is a worry that, you know, potentially that information becomes biased because based on the quantity of information available. You know, like you said, garbage in, garbage out. It all depends on the input that goes into it, that it's going to spit something out of quality. So certainly something that we'll keep an eye on, and I'm interested in using for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing how it works out, but more of these are coming out everywhere, more bots. It's going to be, you know, a bot or an AI for your company, your private AI. You could have your own AI that knows all about you. And then there's the general AIs. And this is what this will be, is more of a general AI that you would go to for certain information. And then, you know, the AI wars continue to see who provides the best and the highest quality information. Because in the end, there's only going to be a couple of them, you know, that are ultimately going to dominate, because why would you have multiple? More than two, really, you know, to check in. And in some cases, you just get used to one, kind of like Google has done search.
Yeah, yeah, so I haven't done an Alta Vista search in some time now.
So. You haven't? No, yeah, it's amazing.
And
let me tell you, the good old SEO days, you could keyword stuff that thing, get right to the top. But no more. All right, any last thoughts as we part ways this week?
No, this is everything. We're pretty well caught up. We're going to keep an eye as to what's going on at OpenAI. And, you know, as December rolls around here, we're going to continue to try to deliver some holiday nuggets of information to people and help them grow their business. Rosh, we've been getting a ton of inquiries for guests on our show. Last week's show I thought was phenomenal, having Jane on the show with us. And we're looking forward to it. We're going to try to keep having one guest per month, I think is what we agreed upon. So
yeah, please, I think that works.
You know, entrepreneurs and podcast agents, people reaching out and listening, please keep sending us inquiries, and we're going to try to keep lining people up. And we love hearing from the listeners. It's nice to know we've got some fans building up, and we're excited to keep this rolling in December and into 24.
Sounds good. All right. Thank you, everyone. If you want more information, head on over to creativeentrepreneurshow.com.